Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag Healthy You, Wealthy You.
Good morning to the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. I'm Adel Kozilski.
And I'm Peggy Stern, and happy birthday, Adel.
Oh, stop it, baby. You have said that over the radio. Thank you. Well, then mazel tov on your side.
Thank you.
We had a cause to celebrate, thank God, in this pretty dark world.
Feels like we haven't been here for a month.
We actually haven't, but we were away for 2 weeks and enjoying the warm weather and celebrating, and it's great to be back. Today, we are going to be discussing a form of healing, which I want to share a personal story with. It's probably happened maybe 10 or 15 years ago. I was traveling to New York. I had this awful pain in my side, awful pain. I couldn't sit on the plane for 16 hours. Got to New York, this pain didn't dissipate. Just to say, I lived on Voltaren and anti-inflammatories. Kind of went away, didn't go away, came back, didn't know what was going on, went to the doctor, didn't know what was going on. It went on and on and on and on. This pain didn't go away. And the doctor had tried everything and eventually said, you know what, I don't know. It's like sitting on your left side. There isn't much. You know, you need to go for a whole gastroscopy. There's something obviously bugging you. That day, I went to my homeopath and I said to him, I'm fasting. At 2 o'clock, I'm going for my gastroscopy. And he did some reflexology and he shook his head and he went, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You need to see a chiropractor. I said, a chiropractor? I'm scared of those people. He says, there's nothing wrong with you. He says, just there is a bit of a misalignment in your spine and your one rib, and that's what's causing the pain. I was so desperate. I said, okay, if you can get me to the chiropractor now, because at 2 o'clock, I'm booked at the clinic for the gastroscopy. I went there, and the first time I actually had it done, I thought, I'm going to die, which I didn't. And amazingly, I walked out pain-free. So that was my introduction to chiropractic, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. We have Dr. Travis Mitchell with us. His clinical interest is in the family chiropractic care, and he's happy to look after people big and small. That's because he respects the human body's ability to heal itself through the right tools and support, and this is applicable at any age. So we're going to have a fascinating talk, and we invite you to join us. Ask your questions. Don't be frightened. They're actually great, great people. I've never stopped using chiropractors since that fateful day many, many years ago. You can SMS us on 34519 is our SMS line. 0618951019 is our WhatsApp number. Without further ado, good morning, Travis.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for having me on this talk today. And what I say to everybody, if you've got a spine, then you have to go to a chiropractor. If you're spineless, then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, all you spineless people, switch off the radio.
There we go.
Love that. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the field of being a chiropractor.
So what I wanted to start off with is most people don't know the story of chiropractic itself. So in 1896, there was a guy called D.D. Palmer, and he was a magnetic healer. And his janitor came to him and said, listen, he's lost his hearing. And he remembered some time ago bending over and there was a funny sound in his spine. And since that point, he'd lost his hearing. And D.D. Palmer surmised that somehow something had shifted in the spine and that it affected a nerve, and that nerve had then affected the hearing. And so he apparently wrote that he took about an hour to convince the janitor to lie down so that he could reset the vertebra. Now, bone setting has been a profession from father to son for thousands of years, and D.D. Palmer had actually seen a bone setter. So he thought, well, you know, I've seen this, I might as well give it a try. And the story goes that he was able to restore the janitor's hearing. And that was the start of the profession. And I think that's just such a great story, because people often have, like you said, Adel, a very strange understanding of chiropractic. And my story starts that I was 7 years of age, and my dad was trying to show my brother and I how to use a trampoline. Now, anytime a dad is trying to show their sons how to do something, you know trouble is on its way. And so my dad unfortunately came off the trampoline and landed on the concrete and damaged his lungs and his rib cage and his pelvis and his knees and his hips. And he went into respiratory arrest and
Wow.
stopped breathing. And my mom resuscitated my dad. And, also, like your story, didn't know really where to take him. And so somebody suggested going to a chiropractor in the area that we were living. And 6 months later, my dad was back at full function, able to play sports with my brother and I. And that was a massively emotional event for me. And so that's why I decided to become a chiropractor.
That's absolutely brilliant. So, for our listeners, do you want to give us a definition of what is a chiropractor? What is the practice of what chiropractic? How do you say it?
Yeah, you've got it. You've got it. Yeah. So if you look at chiropractic, there's going to be a wide amount of different definitions. What we try to do is we try to give it nice and simple. So we look after how the nervous system controls the body, and particularly the moving parts of the body. So that's why the skeleton and the muscles come into that conversation, because those are the moving parts. But what most people sort of get wrong is those moving parts are just about a joint in the elbow or the shoulder. But the muscles move every part of the body. So we're talking your circulation, your stomach, your heart, your lungs, your breathing. But we're really interested in that functionality. And how the mechanism or the control mechanism of the spine helps that connection between the brain and the body.
Do you find though that some chiropractors are like almost more aggressive than others in a way? So some are like a little bit more what like sensitive and don't do as much as
Manipulation.
yes, manipulation.
Yeah, so if we go back to D.D. Palmer's day, he said that there was a philosophy of chiropractic, which we can talk about as we go. We have got some good science behind chiropractic, so that's there. And then there's a wonderful thing called the art of chiropractic. So, what you're saying there is really important. When I put my hands on somebody or another chiropractor put their hands on somebody, there is a different experience. And so that's beautiful. I think that's one of the great things within the profession, that there's a wide spectrum of how chiropractors do their work. Honest answer is it doesn't matter whether it's done intensively. I'm not going to say aggressive, okay? Intensively, or if it's done really, really softly, as long as it's influencing that communication channel between the brain and the body, then I think that chiropractors are doing a great job.
What I found so fascinating, though, with Adel's story and with your story, with the ears and the hearing, is that you feel like you're not hearing, so you need to go to an ENT or someone that can deal with that. You go to, or like a neurologist, with your story, you
I thought you said something
thought,
else. Stop
but a chiropractor helped you. I mean, if someone has a bladder issue, you go to someone else. You don't think to go to a chiropractor. It's just so interesting that a chiropractor can help in so many fields, and it's not necessarily something that someone would consider going to a chiropractor for.
Yeah, I think that comes down to the philosophy side of things. And certainly when D.D. Palmer started chiropractic, he came from that point of view that the body is intelligent, and things happen not because something went wrong, but things happen because there is something missing, if you will. And instead of looking at it from a symptomatic point of view, really trying to back it up and say, what's gone wrong? And so for most people, and this is all of us, I wake up in the morning and my shoulder's sore, and so that means I can't think of anything I did wrong yesterday. So then, but if we do take it back and you really have somebody that can look at that past history, you'll see that knock-on effect. And so the shoulder is just the last straw. And unfortunately, the last straw is not necessarily the heaviest straw. One has to look at going back. And I think in this world today, not pointing fingers anywhere, but we are very symptomatically orientated and therefore not necessarily health orientated.
And that's really one of the main reasons we do that. Healthy, wealthy show is to educate ourselves and our listeners that we are a composite whole and there are many, many facets to our body. We're speaking with Dr. Travis Mitchell and we are talking anything and everything chiropractic. Please join the conversation on 34519. That is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kasilski and Fagie Stern.
We're talking with Dr. Travis Mitchell, and we're talking everything chiropractic. Travis, like, how does, maybe I'm going to ask this in the wrong way, but how does manipulation, all that which you do, affect the nervous system? Because you kind of like think the nervous system is like a nervy thing, and like when you generally go to the chiropractor, they're manipulating a bone, you know, like they're sticking something back into place.
And can we also define what the nervous system is and kind of go into what the nervous system, like how it has an effect on us?
Well, so let's go back in history. So when D.D. Palmer first adjusted his janitor, you know, there was that clicking sound. And what most people know of chiropractors is that they're clicking sound. So your brain automatically thinks that you're putting a bone back in place. And I got to tell you, that is completely and utterly wrong. So if we can change that opinion, that would be amazing. So the clicking sound is just a pressure change within inside the joint and actually has relatively no significance. It creates a temporary range of motion improvement for about 30 minutes, but outside of that, no real significance. But when we adjust, there's two major things that we have found is, number one, the speed of the adjustment or the intensity of the adjustment, and the angles that we use, the brain, and there's a map in the brain. So if you remember from some movies where the person gets touched on their hand and then they feel it in their brain, or they get touched in their brain and they feel it in their hand, there's a part of the brain that actually maps every part of the body in terms of sensation and in terms of function. So when we adjust the vertebra is like the switchboard, and the speed and the angle of that adjustment sends a signal to the brain. It has to be received, and the brain then says, what must I do with that information? And then the brain will coordinate the body according to that adjustment. And that will be one of a couple of different responses. Either the brain will ignore that response completely, and which means the adjustment will give you a 30-minute benefit and that's it. Or the brain will say, hang on a second, I need to reorganize the skeleton. And as it reorganizes the skeleton, there is different effects on different parts of the body. And so when we talk about the nervous system, it is really how the brain is actually sending those messages. You know, there's nothing you do. So blink your eyes, or, you know, pick your nose, or twiggle your toes. None of that happens without an information message going from your brain to that part of the body. And it has to go through different vertebrae. So each vertebra in the spine has a nerve connection to different parts of the body. So if I use a certain vertebra, I know that I'm connecting the brain to the body. I mean, that's really simplistic, but I think for most people, they'll get that concept. And so when we use the vertebra, we're able to stimulate different parts of the brain and therefore get a different response to the body. And the primary mechanisms are threefold. It's number one, tactile. So the body really needs tactile. I mean, you know that when you were injured as a kid, you went straight to your mom and she rubbed it and she gave you a hug and all of a sudden you were better. So that tactile sensation is vitally important. And then the other thing it gives what we call vestibular and proprioception, which is basically spatial awareness. So for example, your heart has to be in a certain position in your chest in order for maximum power output of your heart. You change your posture, you change the power output of your heart. And so what controls posture? Your nervous system. Your nervous system says that this is acceptable versus that being acceptable. So if we can adjust the spine to get that improvement, we can then improve the power output of the heart, for example.
How then do you explain like chronic conditions? Like I have chronic lower back pain.
Yeah, so chronic problems is really quite fun. And I would say that some chiropractors are really interested in that outside of just the sort of acute pain side of things. But chronic problems, I would say that what eventually happens is your brain actually maintains the habit that maintains the chronic problem. So that's number one. And number two, that in chronic problems, pain is no longer a body thing. So when we talk about pain, you know, I prick my finger, my brain registers that there's pain or what we call tissue damage in the finger. And so the brain responds to that. When we're looking at chronic pain, there is no longer necessary damage at the body side, but the brain is somehow stuck in a pain loop. And so a lot of people that don't have any significant indications of pain in their body, but the brain is stuck in the loop. And so I think chiropractic does have a good benefit for that, because we're ultimately changing the brain and the body, not just changing the body.
I have to add in here, when you were talking about the heart particularly, there's times I get heart palpitations. I can just be minding my own business and then my heart goes boom, 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 boom. And I know, I've learned that I have to go to a chiropractor, because really what is happening is that the muscles and the back of my neck have gone into spasm. That's tightened up and that's affecting my heart. You know, the first time I had it done, I did go to a heart specialist. I said, "I'm having a heart attack."
And I thought, "Well, you needed the chiropractor in your life."
I do. They know me. I phone them and they say, "No, just come on over." And my question, I want to be devil's advocate, because I know people will ask that, and there is, say, are you guys not too forceful? Meaning, are you not damaging cartilage? Are you not damaging when you know you have that sudden popcorn click, 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 click in the neck or in the back or wherever it is that you're doing the thing? Are you not damaging the body?
Idol, I think that's a wonderful question, and I think it's a really good question to ask, because ultimately when we're looking at the profession of chiropractic, you know, most people in South Africa have studied for 6 or 7 years. We've got a master's degree. We've spent 3 to 4 years hands-on with people under observation, under supervision. So in terms of hurting somebody short-term or damaging cartilage long-term, my answer is going to be categorically no. Are there a lot of people that are clicking things maybe under the auspices of chiropractic and are not necessarily doing it with the right intentions or the right mechanisms, and could you damage some there? I would say yes. I've certainly had patients who are self-adjusting themselves and have unfortunately led themselves to damage in different parts of the body as a result of self-adjusting. But then I come back to what I said right at the beginning with Kay's question, is that intensity or that intention of how we adjust, I think that has to be very, very specifically discussed. You know, when I adjust you the same as my 16-year-old son, who's this big, massive, you know, young, frisk, strong young man, the answer is no. I mean, because your body is not going to necessarily tolerate the same intensity. So I think if a chiropractor, in my opinion, is worth his salt, you know, or her salt, they will alter their way of adjusting based on the patient.
Okay, and then what about like long-standing, like traumas that you've had? So again, you know, say somebody like fell, you're talking about your dad on the trampoline, right? But just say somebody had a fall, or like a kid had a terrible fall, and they do recover, but they've got this lingering pain, you know, that can chiropractic help that?
Yeah, so I think that comes back to Kay's question in terms of those habits that sit in place. So most traumas that we undergo, it does influence how the brain works and functions with that part of the body. There's a wonderful word called proprioception, and I'd ask all of your patients, all of your listeners to go and look at proprioception. But what happens is the brain kind of doesn't necessarily correct how it controls the body, and that then becomes an error in processing or coordination, and that error stays in place, which creates an inherent weakness in that part of the body from whatever injury you've had. And I think chiropractic should be part of the rehabilitative process to be able to rehabilitate that back to what I term in my office an adaptive place. An adaptive place means that injury is no longer in place, not just I felt better, but that injury is no longer neurologically in place. And again, if we come back to what we spoke about earlier about symptoms, if we're just dealing on a symptom level, once pain is gone, does that mean problem is gone? And the answer is no. We have to make sure we've corrected the problem. Otherwise, it will just reoccur.
Do you ever take x-rays or things to go and see the misalignment, or you're able to identify that just by touching the person and seeing certain movement?
I'd say that as a start, most chiropractors would have a hands-on examination. I would advise any chiropractor that, you know, in certain cases, X-rays are incredibly valuable. In certain cases, MRIs and CT scans are very valuable. Those are certainly part of South African education trained for chiropractors, where we're able to look at X-rays, MRIs, and understand. In my office, we take pictures of our patients and then we draw lines on them, sort of posture pictures. And I'd say that's fairly common in certain chiropractors as well. Some chiropractors use different machinery that can determine different aspects of the nervous system. I use a thing that determines what's called heart rate variability. So there's multiple different ways in a very easy clinical setting that can determine, you know, where is the cause, where is the interference? And some people know the word subluxation or vertebral subluxation. Where is that in the body? And how is that potentially affecting the body? And obviously, where should the chiropractor put his focus?
We're speaking to Dr. Travis Mitchell, and we're talking about the art of chiropractic. If you have a question or you have a comment, 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number. You gave us like a whole lot of things that we can talk about. We haven't even started, but there's like some fancy words over here. Like, what is an allostatic load? Okay, what is it?
Yeah, so I've certainly seen in the last maybe 10 years or so that people's stress levels are just reaching an all-time high. And I think from COVID, and I'm not necessarily just talking about COVID infection, I'm talking about what happened to this world during COVID, you know, politically, economically, and so on and so forth. You know, this has had a massive impact on people. And so the stress in the body is literally getting higher and higher. And then there's old statement that your mom would have said is, I'm up to here with your nonsense. And so allostatic load is basically how much stress is accumulated in the body and is unfortunately affecting the body on different levels. And the challenge with allostatic load is it's not that easy to necessarily diagnose. You can't do a blood test or an X-ray or an MRI and then see, oh, there's my allostatic load. It's much subtler than that, but it is certainly something that I hope that most of your listeners will feel, that they just feel they're up to here with what's happening in their life and in the world that we live in, and perhaps in South Africa and so on and so forth. And the problem with allostatic load, it is a great predictor of chronic health issues. So the higher the load, the more likely you have of having chronic issues. And unfortunately, the less likely you have of recovering from those issues. And I would say from a chiropractic point of view, we can sort of get an interpretation of that allostatic load when we're working through somebody's body. We can see that those bodies are, you know, just full of that tightness, that tension, that stress.
So as a chiropractor, how do you help that?
Well, I would say that comes down to the approach that the chiropractor has of reinstating that new normal connection between the brain and the body. And what that does is it brings the body into what we call parasympathetic, another big word. And so parasympathetic is, you know, you've had a glass of wine and you're feeling nice and relaxed, or you've sat down and had a good chat with your friends and you're feeling nice and relaxed, or you've had a nice hot bath and there's candles and you're feeling nice and relaxed. That relaxed feeling in the body is called parasympathetic, and it's your healing state. Now, most people don't actually spend enough time in that healing state in order to heal from the accumulation of daily life challenges and stresses. And one of the nice side effects of chiropractic is after the adjustment, and I'd ask you if you've had that feeling where you leave the office and you feel like this limp, loosey-goosey, relaxed, like, and it's a really nice benefit of chiropractic.
I do. I leave and I go, how am I supposed to function? I'm supposed to go back to work. I can't
think. And the answer is, the old chiropractors used to make their patients stay in the clinic for at least an hour after the adjustment to allow that healing state to actually do its work.
But does a person come to a chiropractor because, like me, I had a pain in my side, or I've got heart palpitations, or I'm just feeling stressed? If I've got this allostatic load and I'm just coming in, I'm just going, this is just all too much, I'm up to here.
I almost feel like we could go to a chiropractor daily.
I think
just a little check on it.
Chiropractor the corner of my room.
Well, what I'm going to say is,
if I catch you, I just I can't go and tell you my neck's tight, or I've got a heart palpitation, or I've got a pain in my side. I'm done. I feel like I'm at burnout. What can you do for a person like that?
Well, what I was going to say is, if my intention today was to shift that concept, then I think we've done well. That people then say, as part of where they are right now, go to a chiropractor, get your spine checked. If the chiropractor, understands how the body works, then they will be able to look at the person and say, and I would say that should be a relatively easy conversation. You know what? You're not in a bad state. Or you're not in a bad way, or holy smokes, you are, even if you don't necessarily symptomatically feel that. The other side of it is, for us, do we want to just be okay or normal when the World Health Organization defines health as an optimal state? And I definitely think within South Africa, a lot of people are just functioning on that just above water level, even if they're not symptomatic. And so, yeah, I think chiropractors should be part of a person's health approach, even if you're not symptomatic. And that is really to be able to assess where they're at and give them that direction of how to help their body, help their nervous system to be that much more functional and that much more adaptive to the challenges that you face. And why wait until symptoms start?
I'm really loving this brain-body connection, this neurological concept and the nervous system, and understanding that your brain has to send signals to your body all the time, and maybe just a chiropractor can help that connection.
Yeah. And I'd say,
obviously, either keeps you in fight or flight, or, if it's off balance.
I belong to a group, and your listeners are going to look at it. They're on Facebook and they're on Instagram. It's called Pediatric Chiropractic Association of South Africa. And we do a lot of work with pediatrics. And one of the areas that is very, very exciting and interesting is this whole learning difficulties and so on and so forth. And if you put a kid, Kay, in a stress situation, they're going to do one of three things. They're either going to get aggressive. And so those are the kids that the teachers hate because they're always punching somebody or pulling somebody. Or you have the kid that literally wants to run away. Or you have the kid that freezes. The kids that want to run away, you just see that they're absent. And the kids that freeze, you just see that they're there. They're nodding their head, but no information is going in. And I would say that in this world today, that's becoming much more of a common issue. And if we can get that nervous system to quieten down, I think we can infect learning capacity and behavioral capacities in conjunction with educational psychologists and OTs and so on and so forth. And also what I want you guys to see is that it is a holistic model. Don't just go to a chiropractor, get rid of all of your other practitioners, get off all of your medication, just go to a chiropractor. That's not what I'm saying. You've got to be part of a holistic team.
We're talking to Dr. Travis Mitchell. We're talking about all things chiropractic. We have a couple of questions we're going to address just after the break.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
Well, we certainly stirred up the spinal cord today, or people's vertebra. We've got lots of unspineless people. We have lots of questions. Okay, the first question is, what happens if you crack your fingers, or what happens if my knees crack when I bend down? Are these things dangerous, or are these things indicative of needing to see a chiropractor?
So that's a nice question, and it's certainly one of the most common questions that chiropractors get. So there are different types of sounds that can emanate from a joint. Some of those sounds are just that pressure change, which has no real significance, as I mentioned earlier. Some sounds, which is much more of a clunk or a donk sound, that's certainly something which could indicate a ligament instability or hypermobility, as Faye and I were talking about before. If somebody clicks their fingers all the time, I personally feel that does over years create an ongoing instability. And I do think that's a significant concern. And then most people say, yeah, but you click my neck. And I go, yeah, but at most, I've adjusted someone every day for a couple of days, not multiple times a day. But when a person's clicking their knuckles, it becomes a repetitive habit. And so I do think that over long term causes damage. Research has said that it doesn't really. But again, I have certainly seen the effects of that in my office of people who are multiple times a day clicking their neck or their fingers or their back. I do think it causes long term damage.
Okay, the next question is, do your patients have to have full x-rays before you treat them?
As I mentioned earlier, I think a chiropractor should be able to assess a person and the requirement for that. That being said, is I would say that in many instances when I have sent somebody for x-rays, the person is coming to see me, let's say for lower back problems, and I always send for full spinal x-rays, and then we'll see issues in other areas of the spine that the person was not aware of. And I think x-rays is something that is relatively inexpensive. The previous concern of radiation, I don't think that is as much of a concern now with modern technology. And I'd say that if a person has had an x-ray, it's worthwhile to be able to do that as a precautionary measure. I'm putting a pump out there to, the top medical aides that maybe they incorporated part of their wellness packages like Vitality or something like that, that you can have an x-ray every 5 or 10 years. But anyway, let's see how that goes.
Okay, here we have an interesting one. Are you able to help with a condition called, and I don't know if I'm going to even pronounce it right, coccidia? Coccidia?
There we go. There we go. What a cool question. So coccidia, dinia is the word for pain. So you can have pain in any other parts of the body. So it's cocci, which is your coccyx, and dinia, coccyc pain. And most people that have coccidia, you'll see that they really struggle to sit. It's really uncomfortable. It feels like they're actually getting a pain right up their backside. It's really an uncomfortable thing. And most of the time, it's happened because they've actually fallen and landed on their coccyx at some time in their past. Definitely, ladies who go through pregnancy and natural childbirth with the expansion and the change of the pelvis, you can get coccidia. There are other reasons for coccidia, but those are very small. I'd say, yeah, going to a chiropractor is a really good starting place.
All right, absolutely excellent. Just in terms of the range of people that you look after, right? I know there's a growing practice of taking very, very young babies to chiropractors because they've either had a very difficult birth, or even when they've had a seizure, they haven't had the ability to have that straightening out. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because I find that quite unbelievable.
So when we're talking about allostatic load, that's how much stress is in the system. Nowadays, I think pregnant moms have a really torrid time. And so that stress that the mom feels does pass through the placenta in many cases. And so that means the baby is actually under that same type of neurochemical stress. And so definitely, whether it's natural birth or C-section birth, a lot of babies come out and they've got a high allostatic load. They're in constant flight and fright mode. And the most important thing for a baby when they start is they need to learn how to breathe and they need to learn how to feed. And if you're stressed, you don't breathe correctly and you don't feed correctly. So I think there's a growing population of that, and I would say it's very valuable. The youngest patient that I've seen was 3 hours old. The mom had a home birth, and I went round to the house after.
I'm to the
And
chiropractor so quickly.
then it's about as much pressure as you can tolerate on your eye. It's incredibly small. So this changes the whole chiropractic concept because you're not ricking and plucking parts of the vertebra. You're literally inputting, small amounts of signal. But when you were talking about C-section, I think this is valuably important because when a baby goes through the birthing canal, the cervix hits certain parts of the anatomy. So the first one is the cervix clamps around the cranium or the head, and that sets neurological processes in place. Then it crunches around the base of the skull, the first vertebra, and that sets neurological places in place. Then it crunches around the rib cage, and that engages breathing. And then it crunches around the pelvis, and that initiates the normal eliminatory mechanisms, urination and bowel motion. So going through the birthing canal is incredibly important. And what is crazy in South Africa, we are the highest level of C-section births in the world outside of government hospitals.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How then do you help a seizure baby?
Yeah, same thing. We just come along and we find which vertebra is switched off and we switch it back on and we get that nervous system regulated and the nervous system starts to control the body. And I'd say babies are brilliant because you have this mom who is tethered because she's just hating her life and her nipples are blue and the baby's screaming and all of those wonderful things. And she goes to a chiropractor and the next visit she's wearing makeup and her hair is straightened. And then you know she's had some sleep, man. She's had some great sleep.
There's a question, another question coming in. What is the difference between you and an osteopath?
Great question. So if we go back in history, so D.D. Palmer was the start of chiropractic, and there was a guy called John Stills, if I'm not mistaken, and he was about 10, 15 years before D.D. Palmer, and he created the osteopathic profession. And initially, the osteopathic profession was started with the belief system that we were changing vascular circulation, whereas the chiropractor's belief system, we were changing neurological flow. I would say now we do impact both. There's no ways we move something without changing circulation, whether that is changing how the brain controls circulation or actually changing circulation itself. So in South Africa, there's very few osteopaths left, unfortunately, because there's not too many osteopathic universities in the world. But I would say from my point of view, philosophically, there might be a difference. Technique-wise, there might be a difference. Do I think they both impact the nervous system? My answer is yes. Do I think that they are equally as good in terms of their art? My answer would be yes.
Interestingly, I find that there are times, sometimes I will go to the chiropractor and my muscles are so tense that the manipulation or trying to put my well, crooked skull or spine back in place is very difficult and very painful. There are times that I would kind of like go for like craniosacral therapy or whatever it is to try and release that muscle tension so that I can be put into place. Because otherwise, there are times the chiropractor will put me back into place, but because my muscles are so tight, like inevitably I just like yank myself out
I
again.
was about to ask that question. Would you ever refer someone to a physiotherapist or craniosacral therapist for something that they would need it
Such
for?
great questions. Yeah, you guys are smart. I like you guys a lot, man. So I'm going to come back to what we spoke about earlier. That place that you end your adjustment where you're feeling so chilled and relaxed, that's called parasympathetic. If a person's in a heightened sympathetic or heightened stress state when they go to the chiropractor, and for whatever reason, we're not able to get that to change, muscles always contract in that situation. And so certainly, I think that working with other practitioners to be able to facilitate a good nervous system regulation is vitally important. It's always a challenge. I mean, I have a physiotherapist in my office and lots of chiropractors work with physiotherapists. Do you go to the physio before? Do you go afterwards? Do you go the same day? Do you go other days? Some cases you need to, sometimes you don't. I'm going to challenge you, Adil, that most of the time you're in such a high sympathetic before you go. That needs to be addressed. And if the chiropractor hasn't addressed that, then I'd agree the manipulation or the adjustment is not going to have the same impact. And that's certainly one of my precepts is to make sure that the body's ready for the adjustment.
Very, very interesting. We are speaking to Dr. Travis Mitchell, and this is the Healthy You Wealthy You Show 101.9 High FM.
This is the Healthy You Wealthy You Show with Adil Kasilski and Feige Stern.
Well, time certainly flies when you're having fun, and we've had an absolutely extraordinary time. So our time is really up. For now, just explain to people how can they contact a chiropractor.
Yeah, so the Chiropractic Association of South Africa is definitely on Instagram and Facebook, and there's a wonderful website, chiropractic.co.za. Within that, there is, find a chiropractor, and it's a nice interactive map. You can then put your location. As I said to you, the Pediatric Chiropractic South Africa is also on Instagram and Facebook. So yeah, there's good exposure. Please follow them, like them, share them, get involved.
Excellent. We've had a wonderful time and we've learned a tremendous amount. And we are definitely going to take you up on inviting you back onto the show to discuss certain aspects. Thank you for your enthusiasm. When you see a person with passion, then you know that the person can bring a tremendous amount to healing. And I think, we can definitely sense that of you, and we've really been appreciative of your time and your expertise.
Well, I've loved being here. Thank you so much, and may God bless you guys.
Thank you so much, Trevor.
This is the Healthy You Wealthy Show. If you want to join our WhatsApp chat, that is admin run. You can put it on silent. Even Faggy and I just drop a little idea every single day to put you on your path to health. You can send an email to info@highfm.com. Give us your name. Give us your number. We'll gladly join you. If there are any topics you'd like us to cover, any type of healing that you'd like us to talk about, please let us know as well by sending us an email to info@highfm.com. Faggy, always, it's been great.
Have a great day, Adol.
And to all our listeners, this is 101.9 High FM.